Such a nice, beautiful, sunshiny morning. Had a little snow, but not too much, and that's okay too. Pastor Mike wanted me to announce some of the announcements to you this morning. I especially want to extend a very special welcome to Reverend Ray DeLaurier. Said that right? He also goes by Reverend Ray, so if you get a little confused on how to pronounce his name. He is our North Central Regional Pastor for the Four Seas. His region covers Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, North and South Dakota, Illinois, Iowa, Montana, and the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. He's a very busy man. Lots of places to cover. Reverend Ray is a Master's of Divinity degree from Western Conservative Baptist Seminary. He has a Director of Ministry degree from Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary. And prior to serving with the Four Seas, he was the lead pastor at the churches in California and North Dakota. We especially welcome him here this morning. Another announcement Pastor Mike wanted me to mention was the Mercy Meals. Our high school youth will be filling the Mercy Meals for Haiti today in Yankton. But if you would like to give a donation to help with the expenses of these meals, you are to contact Scott Naminus or Matt and Tricia Fisher for that. Pastor Mike and Ann, as you can see, they're not here. On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they attended the Four Seas Board of Directors meetings in Orlando, Florida. And then from there, they traveled to Haiti to visit their niece Peyton, who is a missionary with Mission Haiti. They plan to return very late on the 12th. I believe that's Wednesday night. But it'll be very late, so they're not going to be, you won't be able to contact them until Thursday. So we all pray for their safe travels. Can we close our eyes in prayer, please? Heavenly Father, we just love you and praise you. Lord, you are worthy of all of our praise, and we thank you for never failing to love us and to keep your promises to us. Thank you for everyone here today, and open our hearts to your love and your mercy for us. Thank you for letting us have Pastor DeLaurier here today with us, and we pray for his safe travels as he travels to and ministers to all of the Four Seas churches in his region. Lord, please accept our love for you and be with us as our week progresses. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our hymn, if you rise for our hymn this morning, is number 21, Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing.
Thank you. I have the joys and concerns. So with that, we'll open it up to you. Do we have any joys or concerns this morning? Steve. Okay. We have prayers concerned for people in China with this diseases that are going over there and flu. So, anything else? Yes. Okay, what was her first name?
Tiffany.
Okay, we'll pray for Tiffany with her illnesses. Anything else? Folks are going to make it easy on me. Thank you. Harriet.
This is the first Sunday the Wagon Box are here. They have health concerns.
That they haven't, you said?
They have health concerns.
Okay. All right. Okay, we'll have prayers for the Wagon Box. Not been able to be here for the last 3 weeks. Carl. Yes. Yes, there's a fair amount of snow up there by Redfield, Aberdeen, 10 inches or more, which he needs to travel through later on today, so we will pray for that as well, his safe travels. If no more, then let's bow our head in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this day with open arms and ask you into this place to give us the peace and understanding that we need to have within our hearts and minds, dear Lord. We ask that you be with all those with ailments today. We have many within our congregation with different ailments and beyond these walls as well, dear Lord. And we ask for your healing touch upon them, your guiding hand to the surgeons for the surgeries that are coming up, and ask that you be with everyone in those particular areas, dear Lord, to give them the help that they need at this time. We pray, dear Lord, for the country, China in particular, with the ailments that they have going on there, with the loss of many lives, with the coronavirus and different things going on there, dear Lord. And we look to you for that healing power amongst those people and amongst our own people here in the United States as well, dear Lord. We pray that you would guide Pastor Reid this morning with his message that he's going to present to us. And we pray for his safe travels later on today, dear Lord. We also pray for the sunshine that you have provided, which hopefully will provide better roads for everyone to travel. And we pray, dear Lord, that you open our hearts and minds to what's going on around the world, dear Lord, within our own country and the different things that are happening right now, dear Lord. Be with those in Washington as well, that we can have healing there, dear Lord. Many different things that are happening there, and we ask you that you be within those people's hearts and minds as well, dear Lord, as they make decisions for the United States and beyond. And without your wisdom and guidance, dear Lord, it isn't very hopeful, but hopefully with you being there, dear Lord, and working on those minds and helping the situation out, dear Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll now have our offering. I will read from 1 John 4:10 and 11. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an anointing sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Let's have a time of offering, please.
Father, we confess our faith now through the words of the Apostles' Creed. Thank you, and you may be seated, and the children can come up for Kingdom Kids.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we all doing?
Good.
Good. Well, today I brought a game that I made. It's called The Way. The Way. And some of you guys that go to school in Menno have opportunity to play with this. How many have played this game? Not too many, right? Well, that's kind of a funny thing, because not many people want to play this game because they say it's too hard. Can you believe that?
Because you have to time it.
You know, they'd rather play all the other games I got in my room. Like, there's 27 other games, and they're easier, and they're more fun sometimes, and you win easier, okay? So it's always the easy way we take out, and that's not always the right way. Well, I want to show you how this is played. See, there's seven of these bouncy balls in there. They kind of remind me of you. You guys bounce all over the place, full of energy, right? I see that every day in school. You guys are full of energy. It's just awesome to see. It blesses me to be around that. And this is how you play it. You try to get the ball on the, just don't just sit down so everybody can see. The ball on that narrow track, and you try to get up into that hole. And you got 1 minute, there's a timer here, to get as many balls in there as you possibly can. Let's see if I can get at least a couple in here in a short time. I got one. And there's another one on the track. That's pretty easy, I think. It gets a little tougher when you get less balls, though, right? Well, this game kind of reminds me of something. Right? Actually, what if I would take two of these balls and put them in there, if somebody put them in there, and then when I wasn't looking, and then they start the game. Would that be right?
No.
What would that be called?
Cheating.
Ah, that's not good, right? So, this kind of reminds me of this cheating and this way here of this Bible verse where Jesus talked to his disciples. It's in here in this game. I'm not sure if you guys have ever seen it, but it's pasted in there. It says, "Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." So what's that mean, to enter the narrow gate? Does anybody know? It means we need to walk like Jesus did on earth. How did Jesus walk?
What's that? Walk with slow.
He walked what?
Slow.
Yes, he walked with obedience to his Father, right? Well, there's things in our life that don't belong, and Jesus kind of tells us in his word what they don't belong. What are some things that don't belong in our life?
Sin.
Sin don't belong. It's there, though. But how about lying? Does that belong in our lives?
Yeah.
See, did Jesus lie?
No,
he's the truth, right? It says up there, he's the way and the truth, so he can't lie, right? So what are some other things that maybe don't belong on this narrow road? Jesus says we got to walk that narrow road.
Sin?
Sin, yeah, well, that's part of it. We can't sin, but we all do, but Jesus forgives us. How about disrespecting our parents? Don't listen to them. Does that belong on the narrow road?
No.
No, that belongs on a wide road. It says wide is the road that leads to destruction. So that's not good, right? So we want to leave that disrespect for our parents on the wide road, because the Bible says to honor our father and mother, right?
You're going to play that game again?
Okay, how about disrespecting our teachers?
Yes.
We don't listen to them in Sunday school class.
No.
We're goofing off. Is that right?
No.
No, we need to leave that on the wide road, because that doesn't belong on the narrow road, right? How about if we watch TV programs that have naughty words? Does that belong on the narrow road? No, that belongs on the wide road. We need to leave that there and to get to the narrow road. Yeah. Well, I want to read Philippians 3, 7 through 8. It says, and let me set this down. It says, Paul is saying this, but whatever gain I had, I count it as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. For his sake, I suffered loss. All things count them as rubbish in order to gain Christ. So he thought all these things that he was kind of his sin flesh that was kind of trying to come out, he called that rubbish because he stayed on that narrow path and he got to gain knowledge in who God was. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to gain knowledge of him. And we can't do that when we're doing all these things that are not right in our heart. We need to get the good things in our heart, right? You know, God's way is narrow, but you know what happens? It gets wider with blessings once we get to know Christ, because he blesses us with lots of great things that we can't hardly believe sometimes. So it's kind of the same thing with this game. You know, the more balls you get in there, the more games you get to play, because each one of these games represent a game in my room. So the more balls you get in there, the more games you get to play, the more blessed you get. There's even a game, the green ball represents called the gift or the game, and that you have an opportunity to give to someone else a gift.
And then they take the ticket in and then they get it.
Yeah, so that blesses you. So
can I do it again?
You want me to do one more? Okay, I'll do one more here. See, it's getting harder now. There's less on there. There we go. I got it. And it went in. Okay. Okay. Before we pray, I got a gift I want to tell you about. It's this gumball in this case.
Yes.
And it's got a gumball and it's got an eye on it. And you know what I call these gumballs? I call them look at you. Look at you. You know, that's what we do with gumballs. We look and then we chew. We put them in our mouth and chew, right? But it also represents what God's trying to tell us in his words. He says to look at yourself. Examine yourself. See if there's anything in you that's not supposed to be on this narrow way. Okay? So that's kind of what that... You go to Lori and she's got one for you, okay, when you get done praying here. So let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, we thank you for Jesus, who is the way to life with you, a life we don't deserve, but out of your great love for us, made it available for us. Help us to walk the narrow road so that we may be a blessing to you and others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
While the kids are going back, let's sing hymn 78.
At this time, we want to welcome Reverend Ray DeLaurier, hopefully I got that right too, to speak with us today, and please give him a round of applause.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good to see you today on a beautiful day to gather together to worship God and to give Him our very best. And I am so pleased to be here. I was appointed the North Central Regional Pastor at our annual meeting back in July in St. Paul. I met some of you there. It was a great time. And I've been in 7 of the 9 states that were read to you earlier already, and hope to get to the rest of them. My first trip was here to South Dakota. On September 8th, I preached at the Scotland Community Church and spent time with the pastors here and met with the folks in Loomis and Letcher and Huron, and I've preached in Parkston twice now, and now here today, I've preached in Loomis and Letcher, and one more next month in Huron, and I'll have been with all of the South Dakota churches, and I'm very excited about that. You folks are close compared to Southern Illinois from North Dakota, where I live. The region has 83 Four Seas churches. And of course, there's only 52 weeks a year, and I need to go to church with my wife sometimes. And so doing the best we can. But the ministry of the regional pastor, what we do is connect the Four Seas churches to the conference, connect the churches with each other so that they have an area of fellowship, so the pastors are meeting together and building each other up and praying for one another, and connection with the conference as well. I do trainings in evangelism and biblical peacemaking. And one of the things that I do, the regional pastors do, is we help churches that are on the glide path to closing. And I don't know if that idea of a Christian church closing their doors brings grief to your heart, but it grieves me deeply, because I believe that the church is the only hope we have in our communities and our country. And there are churches, even in the Four Seas Conference, that are down to 12 people, and they're going to close. And we come in with a ministry of church development and seek to turn them around so that they would be an effective growing ministry again. Sometimes they want to turn around, and other times they don't. And it's a very sad thing. So those are part of my responsibilities. I brought some brochures. They're in the back there. They look like this from the conference. Describes the ministry. I am appointed for a one-year term, and that's been extended to a second year. But we are praying that the churches in every region will help support the regional pastor position as I continue in this, and appreciate that very, very much. The scripture reading for this morning is from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, and I read this portion as a preamble to the sermon that I'm going to share with you in just a few moments. Colossians, chapter 1, I'm reading out of the New King James Version, beginning in verse 13. It's a great description of our Lord Jesus Christ and who He is and what He's done, and why we should follow what He says. Verse 13 of Colossians 1, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. For He is the image of the invisible God, firstborn, or preeminent, over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are on heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, and all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that all the fullness should dwell in Him, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death,
to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. This is the word of the Lord. Our sermon text is going to be in the Gospel according to John. So if you turn in to John chapter 14 is where we will be this morning, John chapter 14. And I want to just give you a heads up and let you know so that you're prepared for this. At the end of the sermon, there will be a quiz. See, Carl, you thought I was joking earlier, didn't you? I'm going to give you a quiz at the end of the sermon, and I hope it'll change your life. It changed my life. It's not going to be a quiz about the sermon. So if I put you to sleep, hopefully I won't, but if I put you to sleep, you don't need to worry about that. It's going to be a four-question quiz, and you already know the answers. But when you put the answers on paper and you look at them, it very possibly will change your life in the spiritual realm for sure. So as part of the four C's, we have an irreducible core. What are we all about as a four C's church and a four C's conference? About three things. We love God, we love others, and we make disciples. And it's very concise, easy to remember. And this morning, what I want to talk about is loving God, because that's obviously the first point of the irreducible core. And actually, the goal of our life, the front of the desire we should have in our life is to love God. Because it seems to me the most important issue in this life, in this existence, is our response to the living God. Because our response determines the quality of life in this world, and it determines our destiny in the eternal world. And we start thinking about loving God. There's a passage of scripture, I'll just reference it for you, in Mark chapter 12, verse 28. A scribe came to Jesus asking him a very simple question. He wanted a definite answer. What must I do to go to heaven? Or what must I do to be saved? And Jesus answered this way. He said, what do the commandments say? Did you ever ask somebody that? What do the commandments say? And Jesus answered and said, the first commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandments greater than these. So these two commandments are the fulfillment of all the Ten Commandments and the requirement for our spiritual life, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The question is, how do we do that? How do we love God? And well, Jesus is specific in verse 30 of that passage. We love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And these are the essence of our nature, what we're created to be. And that answers the question, with what do you love God, right? You love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That answers the question, with what do we love God? That's a sermon for another day. I'm sure Pastor Mike has preached that sermon for you already. The question for today is different. How do you do that? How do you love God? And that is a more difficult question, because love given, as you know, is a relational sentiment. When we love someone, you think about somebody that you love. When you love them, you do certain things. We buy them gifts. We give them words of affirmation. We show them affection and touch. We connect with them emotionally and in quality time. We do works of service. We do these things because we love them, and we understand the object of our love, the person that we love, they need to feel loved. And because we love them, we want them to feel loved, so we do those things they need to feel loved, right? I hope you're doing those things. However, God doesn't need anything. He doesn't need anything outside of himself in order to be God. He doesn't need to feel loved, and he doesn't need us to do something that he feels loved. So how do you love the one who doesn't need anything? That's the question, isn't it? How do you do that? Because we're to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We are to love God, and we need to know, well, how do we do that? Fortunately, the scripture is very clear in how we do that. And the Bible basically tells us that we demonstrate that we love God by doing what he says. By knowing the word and doing it. I'll give you a couple of Old Testament passages. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1. Therefore, you shall love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments always. That's how you love God. Deuteronomy 11, 13, and 14. And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God, then I will bless you. Keeping his commandments is equated to loving him. And the New Testament is equally clear on that. If you look in John chapter 14, we read these words from the Lord Jesus Christ, John chapter 14, verse 15. Jesus says these words, "If you love me, keep my commandments." I don't know how much more clear that can be. If you love me, he says, just do what I say. And the difficulty that we have as Christians, as we get kind of smorgasbord on this book, don't we? We take what we like, we leave what we don't, and we want to try to love Jesus. And maybe it's not working very well, because Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he doesn't stop there. At verse 21 of John chapter 14, he says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. Now he's going to do something remarkable. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. It's an extraordinary passage of scripture in John 14, 21. Jesus says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. So if we do what Jesus says, we are demonstrating that we love him. What does he do in response? He says, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. That we have the assurance there that God the Father will love you, will love me when we do what Jesus says. And not only that, Jesus says, if you do what I say, then I will love you. I will love you, and I will manifest myself to you. Have you ever said, especially in real difficult times and trials and tribulations, have you ever cried out to God or cried out to Jesus and said, oh, Jesus, if I could just see you, if I could just see you, then I would know. See, we're very visual people, aren't we? We need to see something. I won't believe it till I see it, Thomas says. And we're like that sometimes. And I want to see more of Jesus, people say. And that's good. Well, here's how, verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. So if you want more of Jesus, you want to see more of Jesus, just do what he says. Just do what he says. A remarkable passage of scripture. Then in two verses later, in verse 23, this where it gets kind of difficult for us. Jesus answered and said to him, well, the question was from Judas, not Iscariot. Lord, how is it that you'll manifest yourself to the world and not to us? Simple question. Jesus just brushes it aside. Doesn't even answer the question. How is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? What does Jesus say? If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and we will make our home with him. That's where the indwelling of the Father, the indwelling of the person of Jesus Christ, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit comes when we repent and believe. Then and only then will they come into our heart. Sometimes we get that backwards. We repent, we believe, they come into our heart. Not the other way around. Don't want to get the cart in front of the horse and say, ask Jesus into your heart without repenting and believing, because he won't. Repent, believe, seek to do what he says, then they come in, then they dwell within us. They make our home inside of you. And you have the Father dwelling within you. You have the Son dwelling within you. You have the Spirit of God dwelling within you as a believer in Jesus Christ. How much power is that? I'm asking. Now you can answer. I'm asking. How much power is that? Lots. How much power does the Father have, the Son have, and the Spirit have? All power. It's all power. Dwelling within you as a believer of Jesus Christ. So yes, we can. We can live a life that is honoring to him. Then Jesus takes a turn in verse 24. After he says, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Verse 24, he who does not love me does not keep my words. That's tough, isn't it? When we don't keep his words, we're not loving him. We're not loving him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And just if we wanted to squirm out of it and say, well, you know, Jesus' words, okay, fine, but is that really what the Father says? See, I want to believe in God. If Jesus is asking me to do something tough, I'm going to appeal to the Father. Maybe I'll get some grace and mercy from the Father. No, he who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you heard is not mine, but the Father who sent me. So now it's the Father telling us that if a person does not love Jesus, we don't keep his words. So we would ask, well, which words are we to keep? I'm asking, which words are we to keep? Thank you, all of them. But they make me uncomfortable. Now what do I do? Well, I can obey the idol of comfort, or I can obey Jesus. Okay, it's a no contest. But that idol of comfort is very strong in our culture today. The first question we ask, is it comfortable? Or will it make me uncomfortable? If the answer is yes, I'm not doing it. And Jesus says, he who does not love me does not keep my words. And those are tough words. Even in chapter 15, verse 9 and 10, we read very much the same thing. As the Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. Called to abide in the love of Jesus Christ, which means to follow his word. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and I abide in his love. Jesus is not asking anything of us that he isn't doing himself. How does Jesus abide in the love of the Father? He does what the Father says. What? Not the miracles? Not the raising of the dead? Not the healing of the blind and the deaf? No. No. Although that was part of his mission. But Jesus abides in the love of the Father by doing the words of the Father. We abide in the love of Christ by doing the words of Christ, which are in fact the words of the Father. And that's how we love him. And within that commandment that I read earlier in Mark chapter 12, we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love one another, love our neighbors as ourselves. We are to love one another and demonstrate that we do love one another by, well, actually, loving one another as Jesus has loved us. Have you ever sat around and thought about, how has Jesus loved me? That's a great question to stare out the window on the beautiful plains here. And ask that question, how has Jesus loved me? That's how I'm supposed to love one another in this congregation. In the same way that Jesus has loved me. It's an amazing thing. I'm just checking the clock here, make sure I don't go over time. We love one another by following the way Jesus loved us, by following God's word. And it gets down to some very basic things. You folks have a strong church, and I'm so happy and thrilled and praise God for that. Some of the churches I've been to a church with 9 people, and they're probably going to close. Not healthy, not loving of God or of one another, conflicts going on, and it's a difficult situation. This is a blessed church. And you have to understand that this is a spiritual endeavor. This is a spiritually governed body here. And the devil doesn't want any of this. He doesn't want this many people. He doesn't want an effective ministry. So the thief comes to rob and kill and destroy. So he'll try to destroy. So part of following Jesus' words is for all of you to put on the full armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6, understanding this is a spiritual battle here, and you will be attacked by the evil one. And the evil one has a very simple tactic that almost always works, and that simple tactic that almost always works as the accuser of the brethren, the church, the devil will move someone to make false accusations. I've seen it over and over and over again against a church leader. Okay? And that's how things get blown up, and then half the congregation goes away. So let me just give you the key to this. The key to that, when the accusation comes, is what the Word of God says. In 1 Timothy 5:9, Paul says, I do not receive an accusation against an elder except by 2 or 3 witnesses. So when the accuser comes, just ask for witnesses. If they have no witnesses, disregard. Just disregard. Don't receive it. Don't even listen to it. Where are your witnesses? So that's loving Jesus by following his word to protect the church. Something very simple. I've been in a number of churches. I've pastored a couple of churches where false accusations blew the whole thing up. And so I don't want to see that happening with you at all. So be ready for that. Following the Lord's words, loving him, even part of the Great Commission in Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I commanded, Jesus says. That's in the Great Commission. That's exactly how we love God. And we believe as a conference that when we love God and we love one another and we are seeking to be at peace with one another, that the church will grow all by itself. It will grow all by itself numerically and spiritually, because people out in the world, they are looking for love, they are looking for acceptance, they are looking for peace, and they're looking for people who care about them. And that's where they're going to find it, here in the church, in the body of Christ. And as you become and continue to grow in those things, to love God, love others, make disciples, be at peace with one another, the church will grow all by itself. You don't need a program. It will grow all by itself, because the world is dying to get into a church like that. And the Lord is going to bless you in that as well. The difficulty with obeying what Jesus says is sometimes we don't. Is that right? Do you folks always do what Jesus says? No, we don't. We want to. We try to. See some of my friends from Scotland over here. You know the quiz already, don't you? Okay, it's time for the quiz. The basic element of doing what Jesus says is to trust him. Do you trust him? Oh, yes, 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 I trusted him for my salvation. Now I'm going to heaven. Okay, great. That's wonderful. God's blessing on you. How about today? Do you trust him today? Do you trust him in the days ahead? Every single day, every decision you make, conversations that you're having, what am I doing today right now? Is this following the word of God or not? And if it's not, then I'm not trusting him, like the message to the children. That's on the Broadway. That's the wide gate that leads to destruction. Am I trusting Jesus? If we're not doing what he says, I'm disobeying because in this moment I don't trust him. What I'm doing is I'm trusting myself because what I want and what I desire is the most important thing. So we have to figure out our trustworthiness. So I want to ask you four questions. Get out a piece of paper and a pencil or pen. I want you to write down the answer to these four questions. You know the answer. Don't be afraid. Very simple. First question for you. I want you to write down a number. A number, not letters and not words. I want you to write down a number. How many times have you been wrong in your life? A lot isn't a number. You could draw that sideways number 8, which is infinity. Probably haven't been wrong that many times. How many times have you been wrong in your life? Question number 2. How many mistakes have you made? How many mistakes have you made in your life? As I've said before, if you don't know, ask your spouse. They know. That's on the one side of the ledger. The other side of the ledger, how many times has Jesus been wrong? How many mistakes has Jesus made? Look at those numbers. Stare at those numbers. My numbers are just as bad as yours. And I have no business trusting myself with my track record. Who am I going to trust? Who's worthy of my trust? Who has a track record that's worthy of my trust? It's really, I mean, we could kind of take it out of the spiritual realm. It's just basic logic. Why wouldn't you trust the one who's never made a mistake? Why wouldn't you trust the one who's never been wrong, not even one time, on how I should handle the situation? But Pastor Ray, it's uncomfortable. I know. I know it's uncomfortable to do some of the things that are in this book that we are called to do. I know it's uncomfortable. How comfortable was Jesus on the cross? Not very. If he can go to the cross for me, and he can die for me, without regard to his personal comfort, why would I put my personal comfort as God over him when he's made no mistakes? He's never been wrong, and I most certainly have. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we come before you this morning thanking you and praising you that you are God and there is no other. We would recognize and admit that in you and in you alone we live, we move, we have our being. And we are grateful that you have given to us your word that would reveal to us how we live this Christian life, which is not easy. Maybe some of us heard a gospel presentation that said, accept Jesus and he'll take all your problems away. That was a lie. We got more problems. And so as we seek to live this Christian life, our Savior walks with us. He is the good shepherd and we follow him. And when we seek to love God, and everything else flows from that, there's only one way to love him. There's only one way to love Jesus, and that's to do what you say, Father. To follow the words of your Son, our Lord Jesus, who spoke to us the Father's words, so that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit would abide in us, that we would be able to live this life in obedience to the Savior, so that our life would bring glory to the Father. And if you're here today and you have never believed and put your trust in the Lord Jesus and you're trying to love God in your own strength and it's not working. Just understand that we have all violated God's law. We've all lied and stolen and disobeyed our parents and chased after other gods and coveted and lusted after others. And we all stand guilty in God's sight, but Jesus came to pay the penalty for our sin, that when we believe and we trust in him, we repent or turn away from our sins and turn to him, he'll forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a matter of trust. Will we trust Jesus for our eternal life? And when you do, you'll be forgiven and saved and become part of the family of God. You just go to him in prayer and say, Jesus, I trust you. I believe you died for me to take my penalty. And Father, as your children are here as well, we would confess and repent that we have not followed your word. We have stumbled and we have gone our own way. We've done that which is comfortable. Because frankly, we value comfort. And we take our eyes off Jesus on the cross for us. And we seek after our own. We thank you that the blood of Christ cleanses from all unrighteousness. And we are justified in your sight, declared not guilty because of Jesus' death and burial and resurrection. So we seek your restoration and renewal and strengthening in our heart and strengthening in our spirit. That yes, it will be difficult to follow the words of the Lord Jesus. It will be hard. It will be uncomfortable. It will challenge us. We pray that each one would keep that little piece of paper in their Bible. And when they're tempted to yield to the idol of comfort, to the desires of the flesh, that each one would pull out that little piece of paper to see this quiz and say, oh, what am I thinking? I'm going to follow the one with zero mistakes, who's never been wrong. As the Lamb of God, he always told the truth, because his words are indeed the words of the Father. And I will be blessed to go down that narrow road walking with him. So, Father, help us all, we pray. We pray for the Four Seas churches in this region and all over the country. Many churches are struggling to the point of closing their doors. Father, they need our help. And we pray that you would keep them going and give them the desire to turn things around, to not close, that they would have a gospel ministry once again and fulfill the vision of those who founded the church sometimes 100 years ago, that many would come to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus. So, Father, we ask for your blessing on each one, for all of these saints that are here today. Help us, we pray, to love Jesus enough just to do what he says without complaining, without feeling put upon, but rejoicing in doing that which the Father deems right. For the Father's glory, we pray all of these things. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen.
We could close with hymn number 92, Oh How I Love Jesus, and please stand if you're able.
Thank you.
Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.